Yeah, I mean, we have been going at 100 miles an hour since the spring of 2020.
Welcome to the Amplifying Optimism in Education podcast, where we connect with educators from across the globe who are creating a better future for learning and educating now by implementing bold ideas and fostering a sense of curiosity, creativity, and possibility. All righty. Well, I am here with some special guests today. We're going to be talking about technology leadership in schools, and we're going to be really addressing the changing role of technology in schools, as well as just the overall climate change in schools that's been happening over the past couple of years, and more specifically in the last couple of months. My guest today is Jennifer Basilis. She is the director of technology at Lake Highland Preparatory School. One of the things that's really unique about Jennifer that she'll bring to this conversation is she has an extensive background in teaching. So this is a conversation about people, about learning, about growth and community. Jennifer also recently went through the Association of Technology Leaders in Independent Schools Leadership Institute. And we also have with us today Susan Davis, who is quite heavily involved in Atlas and the Leadership Institute, who will be kind of helping us really look at what are some of the major themes going on in schools right now around technology? What are the questions and what are the challenges? So welcome, Jennifer and Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
And, you know, we already have had a nice little conversation, just kind of chatting about some of the things we want to talk about in this episode. And just to ask you, Jennifer, you know, what's really going on in your world right now, in your school and in your community that's kind of unique and shaping right now?
Yeah, I mean, we have been going at 100 miles an hour since the spring of 2020. And I think what's happening right now is everyone's kind of taking a deep breath and really reevaluating where we are and celebrating everything that we accomplished during the pandemic and trying to keep school, keep learning going. And we don't want to lose this positive momentum. So there's a lot of conversations happening right now about what pace are we comfortable with so that we can continue to move forward, because we definitely don't want to fall back. Folks were stretched during COVID and they did things that they never realized they could do. So how do we bottle that up and use it to continue making some positive change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know one of the things we were talking about earlier was that part of that creating positive momentum is the sort of celebration of what was accomplished and celebration of each other.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think all organizations right now are looking at ways to help their staff find work-life balance. A lot of focus on mindfulness and, you know, work is over when it's over and respecting that. I think that's just happening everywhere. We're really, you know, putting everyone's outside of work life first, so that there's overall wellness, and COVID made us do that. Made us really,
yeah. Ironic twist.
Yeah. I would add to that, you know, tech people or people who are leaders in technology or involved in technology in schools are often not the first people to talk about self-care.
Right.
In fact, sometimes if you bring that up, they run away. But now I think it's part of the community ethos that it's just evolving that, we know everybody went through a lot in the pandemic, some people more than others, but we know that it had an impact on us all as human beings. And a recognition of that is beginning to seep down into the technology team office, where they're beginning to think, hey, maybe we can set some boundaries. Maybe we can, you know, look at the way we engage with faculty or members of the business office or whatever it is.
Yeah, it definitely made us more aware. The awareness is there now.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, Jennifer, I meant to point out when we introduced you was the the fact that you are the first technology director at your school, and I believe you've been at the school teaching for a number of years prior to that change.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a technology department prior to the school deciding that they needed senior leadership in technology, but it was, you know, kind of the old school mindset of we are just break fix. So the school made a very strategic decision to develop a department that could steer the school in the direction that it needs to go when it comes to technology and education and best practices. It just so happened that they made that decision 2 weeks before COVID. So I haven't really had time to enjoy it because we've been just in triage mode since day one. But it was perfect timing.
it makes you think, did they know something that everyone else didn't?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think went down.
And so, you know, from your perspective and even maybe from how you understand faculty and staff experience this, what was that like to have this new strategic leader in technology and then the pandemic happen and like so many shifts in momentum?
I mean, if you didn't know me, you know me now kind of situation, right?
Yeah,
it was scary. That was a lot of pressure to not only think about what resources the teachers needed, but how were we going to, as a school, continue the learning in a developmentally appropriate way. We are pre-K to 12, so you can't have littles sitting in front of a Zoom for 8 hours. So how do we help our faculty structure that? There was a lot of conversations about, you know, screen time and how we design the day, but it's different for different grade levels. And we also have to make sure they have the right hardware and software available to them. We wanted the experiences to be as seamless as possible because you have parents at home supporting their children. So we became support, not just for our faculty, but we are also support for our students and their parents remotely. And then our staff, how is our staff going to continue to work remotely when a lot of our hardware at the time prior to COVID was, you know, were desktops. So folks needed to be at the office in order to do work. So it was a very new experience for everyone. And we had to throw that together in 2 days.
Two long, spacious days, right? No.
Yeah. And fun fact, it was also my wedding anniversary, one of those 2 days. So I did tell my husband, we're not doing anything. I'm tired.
Oh my gosh. Well, and that's the sacrifice we make sometimes.
Exactly.
Wow.
One of the things that we're most impressed with is looking at this growth that we saw happen. You know, that COVID was a time when many things rose to the surface. Certainly, if there was anything that was problematic, that rose to the surface. But also great capacities and skills people didn't realize they have. And, you know, what mattered to them, a lot of those things rose to the surface. And we really feel like it's important to celebrate that too.
For sure. One thing, Susan, that you just made me think about was during COVID, folks stopped being afraid to ask for help. And that was powerful because we got to build a community of, hey, teachers, it's okay. Ask for help. They'd ask for help. They'd find the other teacher who knew how to do it. And we just built a lot of organic PLCs, you know, professional learning communities kind of just started to pop up organically because folks opened their virtual doors and allowed themselves to be vulnerable and ask for help. And they received it from each other, maybe from teachers they probably had never seen before because we're such a large school. You probably don't know this person, but hey, they were the expert in this particular tool that you wanted to try with your students via Zoom. So that was neat to witness.
How do you celebrate that? And how do you see that moving forward in your community?
We are trying to keep that momentum going. Because of this, we created a teacher leadership cohort called the EdTech TLCs, kind of playing off that tender love and care. Our EdTech TLCs are teacher leaders who kind of emerged through that challenging time that want to help other teachers. So we meet with them frequently and find ways to insert them into different grade levels and meetings so they can share what they know and celebrate what their colleagues are doing. We feature them in our newsletter. We send a weekly newsletter out. So our EdTech TLCs find, we do like a teacher feature, and our EdTech TLCs find those teachers to feature in our newsletter. So we're just trying to keep that going in that fashion. And we meet with our faculty a lot more often now and continue these conversations.
And just to follow up on that, I think that reflection and conversation piece is really thriving.
Right.
You know, it's happening across the board. More conversations, deeper conversations, more thinking about, you know, how can we move into the future in a thoughtful and conscientious way?
For sure.
Susan, one of the things I know that your organization, Atlas, has done is created sort of some mindsets around igniting this next stage for schools. And one of those mindsets that really struck me was, how can we do a better job of taking care of each other? And I think that's a question that I'm not sure that we were asking very often in schools 2 years ago.
Right. I mean, you might have a few people sort of on a higher level debating, like, you know, how is technology healthy or not healthy for students, right. You know, on sort of a 20,000 foot level. But really, we're talking about the person in the room next door, you know, or we're talking about the ways we interact, the ways we engage, the ways we build relationships. Yeah, I have to give Jennifer the credit for the idea of Atlas Ignited, which is the theme for our conference. That was her idea.
In May, right, is the conference?
Yes.
It's in May. Yep, May 1st through the 4th. And Jennifer, as conference committee chair, she and I were kicking around ideas, and she came up with this idea of Ignited to really talk about where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And we've just started kicking around this idea. What is Atlas going to do to serve the community? But also, what is this mindset, right? What is it? What's happening? The question you asked at the beginning, what is happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, what inspired you to kind of ignite that mindset of how can we do a better job of caring for each other? And how do you see that playing out in your community or in other schools?
You know, the concept of Ignited, I was kind of tossing around some ideas, and, you know, I kept saying, we're just so charged up right now. We just came off of this 2 years of, or a year and a half of nonstop. And I don't want to lose that, that momentum. I'm so charged. I'm so ignited. Let's do this. Right. But what is this, right? Like what are we trying to do? And in that, taking a step back and reflecting, what we're trying to do is really just look out for each other and make sure we're not adding more things to people's plate, being really, aware of the folks, like Susan said, the folks next door. How do we show them that we care? We're here, and we want to support you, but we also want to move you in a positive direction. We're a team now. I think the concept of team technology as a partner in the mission is more relevant now than it ever was pre-COVID. And I am charged up. I'm ignited to make that a reality. You know, we're always going to be support. That is 1,000%. That's part of our mission as a department. But now we're thought partners. We're going to be part of making sure you're well and you're okay. Something as simple as just not overloading initiatives on people. That's a way to take care of your neighbor, being mindful and thoughtful about what we put out there as a department. That's part of taking care of your people.
Well, and one of the things that Jennifer and I talked about recently was, I think there was a huge realization of we need to simplify.
Yes.
Just in our lives in general, you know, we all began to simplify in our lives and focus on what was more important. And that became very much part of the awareness of the tech leaders in the school or the tech team in the school. How can we simplify so that this is an easier process, a more pleasant process, a more engaged process, whatever? Too much choice is anxiety provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to think about how can we simplify things to make the experience of learning joyful and pleasant and to really address the needs of the community.
And learning, working, all of it. All of it. Simplifying. I hate to say the word, but I use it a lot. Standardizing. I mean, it's has such a negative connotation, but it's so helpful because when it's simple, we are able to elevate support. We are able to really be there for you. Too much choice is anxiety producing, and it is right. For those of us that want to help. And it's hard to help when it's not simple.
Yeah.
And that's where we're finding success is, you know, the beauty in the simplicity. COVID forced us to purge and clean and standardize and simplify. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're kind of reaping the benefits of that right now. Mm-hmm. As a department and as a school.
And what are some of the benefits down to like the classroom level of that simplifying for this standardizing for the sake of simplifying, not for any other reason?
Sure. I mean, technology is not a barrier to productivity for our kids. You know, we've standardized on even just some of the educational technology resources available so that kids aren't, every time there's a new tech tool, they have to learn the tool first before they can get into the content. Well, if we streamline that and simplify that and don't overtool them, they have time to really love the technology while embracing and mastering the content. So we've been very intentional about the resources we have out there and gather a lot of teacher input. And sometimes it's not always a popular decision to say no to certain things, but our kids, I'm not hearing parents say, oh my gosh, they have a million logins for a million things. But we heard that during COVID. A lot of frustrated parents not knowing where to go for what and how, you know, how to access certain things. They were overwhelmed, and it is overwhelming. So imagine, you know, your 8-year-old sitting there overwhelmed. So simplifying, standardizing on a learning management system school-wide so that parents with kids in multiple divisions, it doesn't matter what grade your kid is in, it's the same workflow and experience for the end user. A lot less chatter about how much is coming at people because we've been very intentional about making things simple.
Yeah, I'm curious, Jennifer, outside of the realm of technology specifically, have you seen other departments or groups within your school simplifying in other ways as well?
I have seen folks embrace Google Drive, which is like amazing. Uh-huh. Yes, we used to have a lot of paper processes and triplicates still, the pink and the yellow and the goldenrod and just embracing, can I put this in a Google form? Should I do this on a spreadsheet? Wait, why don't we just share a doc instead? Yes. So the efficiencies, because they had to move to the cloud. You know, we had stuff locally saved on our network, and we shut that down and nudged everybody over to the cloud. And they've seen this productivity possibility and have embraced it. A lot of our, you know, admissions office, our business office, you know, folks that you would never think would go paperless are doing that. So I'm kind of really jazzed as a Google nerd myself.
Mm-hmm. I've, you know, heard from a lot of teachers I talk with and work with too, that there's still a little bit of maybe a little bit of anxiety about that, you know, going paperless and going into this world where things are unseen, but that there is a recognition of, well, actually, I might be a little anxious about it, but it's really helping.
Sure. I mean, it's tremendous. And the collaboration you can do in that kind of environment, it's very hard to replicate that in a analog fashion. So I love it. I think it's been great. I mean, I'm a paper person as well. I'm a former math teacher, so love a good piece of graph paper. But there's just some power to the collaboration and the productivity when we're all working in the cloud.
Right, right. And teachers can find balance there as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I'm thinking about all the schools out there that have had an experience similar to your school, Jennifer, and who have gone through a lot over the past couple of years, and maybe they are still trying to regain their compass. What are some of the themes that are prevalent amongst, you know, independent schools in general around technology and moving in this new direction productively that they might start to look for in their school?
Susan, you want to chat a bit about cyber safety, because I know that is a hot topic right now, especially as we're moving folks to the cloud.
Yes.
You know, that is just something that we need to be talking about. And I don't think we were talking about it as much during COVID or before. And now we are just, you know, banging the walls talking about it. And Atlas has some great resources for technology leaders and school leaders, because it's not just technology that needs to be responsible for that.
Yeah, I think there's more of an understanding that much as nobody wants to have to think about cybersecurity, or we like to talk about it as cyber safety, it's also part of taking care of your neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's also part of being part of a community that this is unfortunately something that we all have to deal with. And schools have been throughout the pandemic a much more frequent target of cyber attacks and that sort of thing. All of the complications of working from home and coming back to school and more devices and all of those things all created more complications for and more opportunities for mistakes to be made or for criminals to get into a school. We don't like to emphasize that sort of scary part, but we recognize that it's there. We want to recognize it and empower people to understand that you can do some things. There are some things that you can do. Work with other people in your school. Be aware that the choices you make can affect, you know, the teacher you hang out with, the administrator you really trust, the students and their parents. All of these things can be affected by the choices that you make. And so if we all take responsibility for each other, another common theme of the pandemic, if we begin to take responsibility for the whole community, then we can really make an impact on being safe and being able to just enjoy the benefits of safety.
Right. And just thinking about schools that have not implemented cyber safety initiatives yet or are new to it. And Jennifer, I know you're pretty new to your role. What are some of those first steps look like?
Well, I mean, honestly, one of the first things we started doing was simulated phishing. It's not very popular amongst folks, but as a teacher who likes to be a hands-on learner, I think that is a really awesome hands-on learning experience. Better than, I mean, we do training as well where they, you know, sit behind the screen and watch the 15-minute video on 101 different ways your email can get hacked. But I think those phishing simulations that, like, it's batting practice for cyber safety. And that was the first thing I did. And folks have taken it really seriously. Like yeah. they love it. They'll email me. I did it. I hit the fish alert button and I got the, you know, the confetti and you will be so proud of me. And I'm like, well, yay, you know? And that was just the simplest thing. And then the other, and I did use a lot of the, or all of the Atlas cybersecurity recommendations. So that was my compass to make yeah. sure I was doing it, correctly. We set all faculty and staff up with two-factor authentication, and it wasn't mm-hmm. a popular decision, mm-hmm. but we did it, and it didn't come without pain points for us to support our staff, but we did it, and that has reduced a lot of the issues that we were seeing during COVID COVID, my goodness, with those emails that we were getting, it was nonstop. And I was nonstop emailing the staff, like, do not respond to so-and-so. That is not
so
real.
Scary.
It was nonstop. Yeah. I couldn't believe yeah. it.
One mistake there could take the whole school off the rails.
You better believe
That's
it.
That's right. But if we frame that more positively, you know, yes. all the actions that we collectively take keep the school safe.
That's right.
Just as we would want to keep the school physically safe, mm-hmm. we also have to keep it safe in this other universe.
Yeah. Well, and we'll make sure to link the Atlas Cybersecurity Recommendations site in the show notes so folks that want to get started in cybersecurity can have a, like you said, a compass or an atlas to
there
cybersecurity. But I'm ching. Great. And what else? What are some of the other themes that we haven't really hit on? I'll tell you one that comes to mind for me, and it's really, you know, how do we remind teachers that they have the capability to stretch and to really do new things, you know, without it seeming like we're pushing them or it's not giving them a chance to recover? I mean, how right. are you finding that?
Schools have been really, I would say they've been walking into this space very carefully mm-hmm. because they recognize the huge ask that was made of teachers especially, but really the whole school. I mean, teachers were the ones on the front lines, but everybody in the school was working two or three or four times as much as they usually were, just to keep everything up and running. So they're walking into that carefully, and they don't want to ask too much, but they also don't want to ask too little. And I know Jennifer can really speak to that.
Oh, for sure. You know, one of the things that we've been trying to do to be more mindful of that is let the teachers drive where we want the learning to go. Mm-hmm. A lot of teacher choice and voice in what we are putting out there, as opposed to initiatives coming out of our office. You know, I'm speaking specifically about technology and educational technology, because our department has both educational and operational technology. Mm-hmm. So we have intentionally integrated ed tech learning opportunities that are driven by the faculty themselves. What do you need right now? What do you want to know more of? How do you want your learning to go? And, or do you want to share what you know? So just really putting it in their hands. And that's kind of the approach that we're working with, is letting it happen organically. And then with those ed tech TLCs, really utilizing them to inject that learning into the spaces that maybe we have folks that aren't too interested in it.
Yeah. And one of the things we teach in the Atlas Leadership Institute, one of the very first things we teach is how to conduct an empathy interview. You know, don't assume you already have the answer just because you're the tech person. Go in and talk to the users and see what their experience really is. You may have it totally wrong. You may be prescribing for something that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, go in and talk to the people. And not only do you get better information, but you start to build a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes a difference.
I mean, I feel like there's so much that was learned over the last couple of years, and there's so much that's surfacing now. Are there any, and you've mentioned so many things, are there any other sort of trends or themes or mindsets that you really think are important to get out there?
You know, I'll tell you one that was discussed pre-COVID, but I think it's even more important now and has evolved is digital citizenship for our students.
Yeah.
And the shift from it being technology skills to digital wellness and tying it to social emotional learning, that is so important now more than ever. Yes, tech skills will always be important, but but the digital wellness and health of our kids is something we need to really be having conversations about and being extremely proactive about. And I think that the technology team can play a huge part in those conversations and the, that programming with the academic leaders of and the, you know, counselors of the school. I think that is an opportunity for a really strong partnership to support our kids.
And I imagine too, the teachers have a lot of firsthand experience now juggling digital wellness that maybe they didn't have quite the same way before.
Exactly. And then there's more awareness. So we keep coming back to that word, right? Where maybe pre-COVID, digital citizenship was just a box you checked. Yeah, we do it. Now there's an awareness of why it is so important to be equipping our students with the tools that they need to be well human beings in this highly connected time.
And what a positive sort of outcome and awareness to what I think was very challenging. You know, folks not really knowing until they started experiencing sort of side effects psychologically and even physiologically around technology use, that it actually coming out of this experience creates opportunity for wellness that they didn't even know they needed to think about and could benefit from.
Sure. And our parents need our help. They want our help, actually. They are asking the school to insert themselves and be involved. And I know a lot of schools feel the same way. So here we go. Let's do this. Let's find ways to really make this an intentional learning opportunity for our kids and gather that buy-in from faculty that this is important. This is important to integrate into your morning meetings. This is important to integrate into different lessons and topics that you may not have thought to discuss these things before. Now it's time we owe it to our kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what a wonderful point to arrive at the end of this episode here is what were the amazing outcomes that we're able to bring to students, 2 years out or so.
Yeah. And I would add to that because of all that we've all been through together, we can now, I think, have deeper and more thoughtful conversations about how much technology is too much and how much, you know, when, how can we make better choices about this? How, before it was, you know, it seemed like lots of knee jerk one way or the other. It's either great or it's terrible. But now we all have this shared experience that we can draw upon and be more thoughtful and intentional about the ways in which we allow technology into our lives. I mean, if we all had a second to even think about it, we depended on technology to stay connected. Schools are now going to continue to be more connected with their constituents through technologies like this call that we're having right now. So, but we have an opportunity to step back and reflect and say, okay, this worked, this didn't, this felt good, this was good for me, this was bad for me, but we can do it based on our experience.
Agreed.
That's perfect.
Well, Jennifer and Susan, thank you so much for joining us today. Jennifer, where can folks find out more information about your work or you? Where can they go?
Sure. I don't have a website, but now I'm like, maybe I should make one. But you can follow me on Twitter at Jen Basilis, active there, and love to connect with folks, learn from people, borrow ideas, share ideas. So on Twitter, that's you can easily find me there. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to chat. If anybody has any cool things that they've learned or takeaways, please send them my way, because I love to share with the school and with our team.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jennifer. And we'll be sure to link your profiles in the show notes so folks can get in touch with you. And Susan, what resources or parting words or suggestions do you have for our audience?
Well, we're also going to include in the show notes, as Jennifer mentioned, the Atlas Cybersecurity right. recommendations are available to everybody. You don't have to be an Atlas member to get your hands on that document and begin the journey of keeping your school safe. We also want everybody to remind everybody about the Atlas Annual Conference, which will be May 1st through 4th in Orlando. And we'll also include in the show notes a link to more information about the conference. And just a last plug for the program that Jennifer went through, which is the Atlas Leadership Institute. We're going to start taking applications, and that will begin a new cohort in June of 2022.
Wonderful. Jennifer, Susan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Josh and I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode of Amplifying Optimism in Education. Please join us next week for another new episode and conversation with an innovative educator from around the world.